With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
You're listening to the IFL TV podcast in association with Lonsdale MTK Global, sponsored by William Hill.
Andrew McCart, IFL TV, proudly sponsored by Everlast. I'm here with Liam Smith out in Dubai. We're in the Burj Al Arab, mate. I mean, can we be anywhere else better in the world right now?
Some gaff in it. Some place to be. Not a bad place to sit and have some food in.
Talk about that pasta. I know you asked for a second bowl, so did I.
Yeah, they asked for a bit more. And even the desserts were lovely, to be fair, but obviously it's expected. You didn't probably, you know, one of the best hotels around the world, if not the best. So, you know, it was nice to be around some faces also.
Everyone, it seems like nearly the whole boxing world is here. So, but we're here for a reason. This Combat Chain, you can see the logos behind you, Combat Chain, and we just sat in front of over an hour presentation. We heard from Eddie Hearn, Richard Schaefer, Kyle Sound, Roy Jones Jr., some of the big names in the sport, even the founders and stuff like that. What was the biggest takeaway that you took from Combat Chain? And can you just explain about what you took away from it? Sorry.
Look, it's hard. You're going to have to read up and learn on a few things, but I think that's just the same in this whole crypto situation, you know, the world, what it's becoming, and we're wanting to go into like a digital side to it. But obviously you only have to look at the faces who are here, the people who are sitting up talking about it, to realise that it is going to benefit boxers, it is going to benefit a difference and make a change, and you know, it is all worthwhile to get into from a boxer's point of view. You know, you even to a boxer being insured, you know, we get injured in the ring. Just a little couple of things that I've looked at. You know, we get injured in a ring and can't fight again, you know, I think it's a minimum $250,000to the boxer or to the family. You know, God forbid, you know, a boxer dies in the ring, which we all know the sport we're in. It happens, unfortunately. You know, I think there's a insured for a minimum $1 million. So that isn't in place up of yet. So, you know, if Combat Chain can bring that, then, you know, it's worth looking into for fighters. And, you know, if it's going to make a difference, then, you know, I'm all for it. And I believe it is going to. You look at the faces, we've got the biggest names in boxing, past and present, in here now. We've got the biggest promoters in boxing at the moment. So, you know, if they're here backing it, then I'm sure it's going to take off.
Do you understand NFTs? Do you understand any of that? Are you interested in the NFT world?
Yeah, I'd love to. Obviously, I've seen them. I don't know how it fully works. I might be a liar if I say I did. But I'd love to get involved, obviously. And I've seen bits how it works, but I'm not clued up. But I will try to be. You know, I'm going to try and learn how to be before it fully takes off. And I'm going to do a little bit of homework.
Yeah, we're talking about the crypto side of thing and the NFTs, but there's a lot more. You mentioned insurance for the fighters on this as well, but for young fighters coming through, like I spoke to Josh Taylor and Regis Progre about this as well, that a lot of kids do put in the work, but they can't sell the tickets, so they don't get in the big shows, but they've got the talent. You know what I mean? Only a select few like yourself become world champion. So what does Combat Chain do for these young kids that can't sell the tickets but have the talent? Do you think that that's going to help them support them to get where they need to be?
Yeah, definitely. I think more so. You know, more so for a prospect or a high established world champion, I think it's ideal for. You know, in the middle, maybe not so much. I think you're coming through, it's going to help you get noticed, help you, you know, get... There's a lot more to it. You know, people can kind of, like, buy into young prospects, maybe, like, not so much like a sponsor, but, you know, put money into them, like put money into gyms. They can,
you know, fans can sponsor them as well, yeah.
Yeah, you know, you can see a prospect you like who can't afford... Not really can't afford a full team, but a prospect who's having a debut can't really afford to bring on a nutritionist, bring on a strength coach. You see your Usyks and your top fighters, Progre, Josh Taylor, they're walking around with a nutritionist, they're walking around with a strength coach, they're walking around with a physio, and then they've got the cutman, chief second, trainer, six people. You know, it's a lot of people. People making debuts and having winning the first five fights can't afford that many people. So you can maybe, you know, you can buy into them and help them along that way in a sense. It's just digital, everything is going digital at the moment. Selling tickets that way, you know, buying after fight passes, You know, there's a lot more. Again, there's people more clued up about it than I am. But what I've seen, what I've understood about it, I've been very, very interested in. And I know there's a lot more that I'm going to be interested in once I learn a little bit more about it.
So what is next for you then? I mean, you've probably got a smile on your face. You probably can't let on too much. But I don't know if you can enlighten anyone, the fans. Have you got a date? Have you got an opponent? What's next for Liam Smith?
Yeah, obviously, I'm going to say it again. I'm sick of saying the name, so I can't wait for it to be announced or be finalised or, you know, be right in front of me. But, you know, the Jesse Vargas fight is one. Tunes go out the ring with Fowler. You know, Eddie said he's agreed. So let's hope he has agreed now and we can get that fight going. I'm told it's basically done. I think we're waiting on an announcement very, very soon. And, you know, hopefully we can get it going before the end of February. So that's one that I'm looking forward to. It's one that is niggling me for a little bit now. It's, you know, more I wanted the fight, and now I feel like it's done me head in, so I can't wait for the fight now. And I think a lot of that's been down to Jesse, you know, with him messing about with all kinds of other shite. But hopefully we can get him in the ring soon, and, you know, we can put that aside.
Well, end of February, mate, whatever it is in the world, if it's Vegas, I can't go. My missus is pregnant, so listen, if I don't make it, good luck. But if it is in the end of February, man, good luck, because you've been wanting to fight. But I want to go back to the Fowler fight and stuff like that. When I was watching the fight in the house, did he surprise you in the early rounds when he was landing the big shots? And it's sort of like, especially the first round and stuff like that, when he was hard to pin down, did he surprise you, and were you thinking, oh, shit?
No, definitely not. I said, pull every interview that got said beforehand. I basically told you the rounds I'd stop him in. I said 8 or 9, you know, and I said every way I held the fight to go, okay, he started not better than I thought. I started maybe a bit slower than I thought, but I knew he started fifth gear, I'd start fifth gear, I'd start first, and we were only going one way. He was going down, I was going up. Watched it back myself, and, you know, I seen people saying, like, even Mike Costello saying, Smith was hurt, he nails me flush, he doesn't ever hurt me. He doesn't ever rock me to me boots and have me all over the ring. You know, he nailed me flush. That was that. And obviously, I knew I'd get better in a fight, and I knew I'd get to him, and I did get to him.
You mentioned that Jesse Vargas. Was there a case of taking your eye off the ball a little bit with that? Because you wanted that Jesse Vargas fight long before, I think we were, in fact, it was December. This time last year, we were talking about Vargas.
Look, it was in the ring when I beat Sam Eggington. Eddie mentioned it, and I thought, oh, yeah, you've got Jesse Vargas. I thought that's a fight I'd want. And, like, I thought the fight that makes sense, now easy to make. And then, you know, not Eddie's fault, really. Eddie signed Mikey Garcia, and he made the Mikey Garcia fight for Jesse, so that was a no-brainer. But, you know, the Fowler fight, I was never going to take my eye off the ball because it was him and because it was Liverpool. If it was somebody, I'm not discrediting me, by the way, but it was someone at the same level as Fowler with 16 fights, I maybe could have took my eye off the ball, but the fact with it being Anthony Fowler, he was from Liverpool, it sold out in no time. You know, that made me switch on to it, that made me get me teed into training. And, you know, Shane McGuigan, he didn't really fuck up, but I don't know if he watched the Kavanaugh fight and thought I was finished or something, but, you know, I think I showed him far from it. And even after the slow start, I still showed, you can keep throwing the domestic fighters at me all you want, and I'm still a level above them.
Well, Jesse Vargas is a domestic fighter. I mean, he comes to fight. He's probably got a good style for you in terms of a fan-friendly fight. The fans are going to be happy.
He has, and that's why I jumped at it. I thought, no way. I forgot he'd signed at Matchroom, you know, USA at the time, and I just thought, whoa. I've done his heading over it for 2 years, but he put Jesse to me, you know what I mean? I didn't mention Jesse. I remember it. I remember Joe, after the fight, saying, Sergio Garcia, or I'm sure Brook might have got mentioned. And then they interviewed Eddie in the ring, and Eddie said, yeah, Kell Brook, Sergio Garcia, even Jesse Vargas. And I just thought, ooh. And that just rung a bell. I thought, you know, I know he likes to fight. Jesse's got a good style. He's not a southpaw that's going to run away from me. And I just thought, that's a fight I want, that. And it's a name, he's a former world champion, he's only lost to Pacquiao and Timothy Bradley at the time. I know he's going to lose to Mikey Garcia now, but I just thought that's a proper name. It's a world class fighter, and it's a fight I'd love on my record, so I've chased it for 2 years, and hopefully I've got it now.
Finally, before I let you go then, you got a message for Jesse if he watches this?
Yeah, obviously, just put all your Congress aside, make sure you're ready for February 5th, and, you know, let's have a proper fight.
There we go. Liam, thank you so much. Good to see you in Dubai, mate. Well, COVID's ruined the old handshake, innit? But listen, good to see you again, my man, and good luck when the fight does get announced. If it gets announced, then
good luck with the baby as well,
thank
mate.
Thank you so much, Liam. Thank you so much, champ. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the IFL TV podcast. sponsored by William Hill in association with Lonsdale MTK Global.
Sports Social Podcast Network.